school's in session, and
let me jump right into it.
We need to educate some people because we got some crisis nonsense going on around here. I don't know if you heard recently about the whistleblower claiming that ICE has been giving completely unnecessary and mass numbers of hysterectomies. And Dawn Wooten is the name of the whistleblower, who's a nurse at the ICE facility in Georgia. And she filed a complaint with the Department of Homeland Security, claiming not only medical neglect, but this, you know, medical violence and, you know, genocide, if you ask me. I'm putting words in the mouth of the claim right now. But, as I was saying at the outset, you know, it's like every day, it's like an insult to the integrity of your own body, of your own, sense of psyche, your own physical self. The idea that it's not bad enough to be detained. It's not bad enough to be under armed guard and also to be subjected to sexual violence, as rampant rape and other forms of sexual violence, but then also to have your entire reproductive capacity be completely ripped out for absolutely no reason. It just goes on and on and on. But what would you want people to really think about in relationship to this? Well, what's the frame that we should have beside my depressed outrage right now?
But I'm with your outrage, though, but this is what fascism looks like. And this is one particular manifestation of it. Now, of course, there's a long tradition of eugenics in the United States, 31 states that had laws that allowed for reproductive violation and injustice, that allowed for sterilization. We know one of the greatest freedom fighters of the 20th century, Fannie Lou Hamer, underwent the same kind of operation without her consent, same kind of violation without her consent. And so I'm glad that there's a focus on this. I hope that we can sustain the focus. We're going to sustain it on the tightrope in our dialogues.
Yeah.
But it's an attempt to go at the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Our vulnerable immigrant sisters, our vulnerable indigenous sisters, our vulnerable Black sisters.
Yep.
Long, ugly tradition of that kind of fascist treatment. But now, you see, it's taking place in the age of Trump. So it's now connected to other fascist developments called calling into question the legitimacy of elections, calling into question the rule of law, calling into question any kind of accountability, no matter who it is. So it becomes one dimension and element of all these other elements and dimensions.
Right.
And this makes it even more terrifying.
Not only more terrifying because of the unregulated violence, but also because it's under the context of privatization, right? You can't even get documents and information about what's actually happened. And they deliberately, I believe, sequester these kinds of activities into these privatized spaces so to propel the agenda that you're describing. But the other thing is, this is a time when if there's anything we need most, it is the potential trust of the medical profession. And, you know, at this point, it's hard to imagine that people would trust a vaccine, right, for this virus. And yet here we are coming to terms with medical professionals, literally hired by private companies, doing this level of violence. I mean, if anybody has a question about why people of color don't trust doctors or don't trust, you know, medical professionals in general, I mean, here's a very clear recent case of that. For those who don't know, just to remind them, the Tuskegee, you know, syphilis experiments,
where
using Black bodies to test, to see how long syphilis lasts, what happens untreating, deliberately not treating men with syphilis, and in some cases giving them syphilis in order to see just how it would damage, harm, and distort and destroy you, right? Just the fact, the desire to experiment on the one hand, and then the other desire to control and stop reproduction, to say, you're not worthy of being here in the future. We're going to change your future, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a vicious thing. I think
it's a vicious, ugly thing. We've talked before about Sister Harriet Washington's medical apartheid. Keeping track of that very ugly history and ways in which it is still manifest today. Mm-hmm. And we have to be vigilant about it because we're just being attacked and assaulted on every conceivable front.
Yep. Yep. And for those who are interested, you know, Dorothy Roberts has written a lot on this, this kind of violence on, against women's bodies and the use of, you know, reproductive, requiring Black women to, you know, use birth control if they want to, you know, get out of jail, basically, you know, just to, it's a remarkable synergy of political intention to control, contain, and devalue Black life. So when we say, do Black lives matter, or do people of color's lives matter? Well, you know, ask the women who've been detained in these facilities, you know, that's whether or not that's, you know, worthy of our attention. But yeah, I hope this really breaks forward. And this sister is very brave. I mean, I don't, whistleblowers, being a whistleblower in general is brave. But oh, now being a whistleblower now, I mean, the full weight, a vicious weight of the government and all of its capacity could easily rain down on you for even telling this truth.
Well, we see that with the trial of my dear brother, Julian Assange. You know, I'm a witness in his case, and they're trying to send him to jail for 175 years. Brother Snowden is still in Moscow after all of these years. You know, Brother Jeffrey got out, but he went to jail for 3 years for nothing. Also, many folk trying to be truth tellers and end up, going under or being crushed or mistreated. So we've got to come to the defense of this courageous sister. Very much so.
We do. And we have to figure out how to get more information from the women who've been, you know, detained and what else is going on. And, you know, this is also, you know, sexual violence and physical violence against women's reproduction is a hard topic for people to rally around in the same way as other things are.
That's true.
Because it feels like such an intimate thing, and it feels we've not been trained to see the deeply public political nature of this kind of action. So a lot of people might want to shrink from it, but I just want to encourage our tightrope posse to really think carefully about just how much this, you know, the kind of harm this does, and the permanent psychic scars that could result from it, and also politically what it actually means and what it says. And the ways in which it might discourage any kind of medical care at a time when people literally are dying easily, you know. So anyway, I just want to encourage people to not turn away. It's easier to turn away from sexual violence and medical reproductive violence because of the reasons I was saying. So I don't know. I just want to encourage people to stay on it, and we'll do what we can to stay on it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And connecting it with the fight against homophobia and transphobia, because a lot of times it's the most vulnerable who are oppressed trans. It's the most vulnerable who are oppressed lesbians who are attacked, and people feel as if they can get away with it. Now, of course, they're attacking the straight sisters too, of all colors, disproportionately Black and brown and indigenous. But we have to be able to have a moral consistency and a broad vision.
That's right.
In our focus and in our solidarity.
Absolutely. And there's no question trans, you know, people are significantly more vulnerable than many other groups in society. And the violence against them is also sequestered and hidden, because it's often about the violent responses to policing one's gender expression. And that violence often has a sexual dimension as a mode of control and a mode of bullying and violence. So it's also something we must not turn away from. I agree.
They are as precious as anybody else.
Yes, indeed.